So the man who heralded the triumph of new labor in Britain will likely leave number 10 Downing Street an unpopular leader strongly identified with his advocacy of the war in Iraq. What legacy does he leave? Has Britain's Blair created someplace that is uniquely Blair's Britain? Well, to address those questions, here's Peter Riddle, columnist for the British Daily, The Times, and author of a Blair biography. Peter Riddle, what do you think? How would you describe right now the legacy of Tony Blair?
I think it's ambiguous. On the one hand, as you said, there's Iraq, there's the closeness to George Bush, which make him very unpopular in Britain, and the war was very divisive in Britain. On the other hand, a lot has been spent on education and health and pensions, and there's been a reduction in child and pensioner poverty. So those are positives. But at present, certainly, his ratings are very low. People feel he's been Prime Minister for too long. He's promised a lot and delivered less. So he certainly goes out under a very dark cloud, a feeling of, well, it hasn't really worked out. But I think in the longer term, some of the legacy is to do with the way we fund our public services in Britain, and some of that may endure because some of it's also been accepted by the Conservative opposition party.
A couple of other points. This week we saw a ceremony in Northern Ireland confirm developments that Blair's government was party to bringing about, and that is a very serious development for Britain.
Absolutely. And he was clearly extremely happy on Tuesday when he was in Belfast alongside Ian Paisley and Martin McGuinness, and two opposite wings. This is a real success.
On Europe, Tony Blair leaves Britain. Well, British are not likely in their next election to be nearly so unhappy about their lot as the French were in their election this year.
I think on Europe there's been ambivalence that Britain has always been an uneasy partner whilst it's been in the European Union, which is now over 34 years. And Tony Blair came in promising to be very positive about Britain's place in Europe. But that was undermined partly because he developed bad relations with Jacques Chirac, who's just stepping down as French president, and Gerhard Schröder as German chancellor. And funny enough, he gets on much better with Angela Merkel, even though she's on the centre-right. And one of the wistful things about Tony Blair, he was looking forward to working with Nicolas Sarkozy, the new French president, hoping for a kind of troika of Sarkozy in France, Merkel in Germany and Blair in Britain. Well, it's going to be Gordon Brown, his successor, who develops that. But the fundamental issues of Britain's place in Europe remains unresolved.
And yet Britain is one of today one of the economic success stories of Europe.
Well, that's partly the irony, because, yes, it is. And indeed, President-elect Sarkozy in France has looked enviously across to Britain and pointed out that London is the seventh largest French city in the world because there's so many French people working in London now. But at the same time, Britain has not been part of one of the central European projects, which has been the euro, the single currency, which now embraces 12, 13, 14 countries. So that shows, again, we're not quite at the heart of Europe, even though we're doing quite well on its periphery.
Do you think that Tony Blair's policy on Iraq and his closeness to George W. Bush is part of a larger British alignment and Atlanticism that will now stick and that is a permanent legacy of his? Or is Iraq just a peculiar one-off issue that happened to attract Blair's enthusiastic support?
I think you've got to distinguish two things there. In his attitude to working with the US president, he was a very traditional mold, going back to Winston Churchill, Harold Macmillan, who was very close to Dwight Eisenhower and John F. Kennedy, to Margaret Thatcher with Ronald Reagan. He was terribly traditional in that way. The trouble was, it occurred at a time when you had a US administration which is very unilateralist and was very hostile to Europe, and that created his difficulties. On Iraq, he was a believer in the existence of weapons of mass destruction and the evils of Saddam way before George W. Bush became president, way before 9/11. And that's one of the things which I don't think is fully appreciated, that he was very critical of Iraq a long time before. The problem was he didn't pause and say, well, do we have to go to war to contain Saddam, or can we just do it by tougher sanctions? But I think the Iraq episode, let us hope it's exceptional in that respect. I think Gordon Brown, his successor, will not be as personally close to George W. Bush. But I don't see a dramatic change in British foreign policy at all.
Well, now, I know that it's really up to historians with the benefit of some passage of time to make historical judgments. But to simply speculate right now on what those judgments might be, do you think Tony Blair is going to be remembered as one of the great prime ministers of contemporary Britain, like Churchill or Clement Attlee, for that matter? Or is he in a lower tier, do you think, of national leaders?
And to use a very British formula, he'd be in the upper middle tier. I think the view of Tony Blair will be that he transformed his own party to make it electable in a way it had never been before. Labour became a party of government. He did some very big changes to public services, some of which I think will last. I think those will be more appreciated. But fundamentally, he didn't achieve as much as he should have done. It is a story of disappointment. He had enormous political opportunities after his first two elections, and his sense they were derailed by Iraq. Just at the time, he had a plan for what he wanted to do. His political authority was undermined and his energy was distracted by Iraq. So I think people will say it's a disappointment. It's not as big a change as someone with his political advantages should have achieved.
Well, Peter Riddle, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
That's political columnist Peter Riddle of The Times in London. He's also the author of The Unfulfilled Prime Minister, Tony Blair's Quest for a Legacy.